What would you do if Nazis were rounding up college students? It's not a hypothetical. It's happening now.
Federal immigration authorities have arrested a Palestinian activist and graduate student who helped lead last year's student encampment protest at Columbia. According to Mahmoud Khalil's attorney, ICE agents took him into custody last night at his university-owned apartment. Attorney Amy Greer said the agents claimed they were acting on a State Department order to revoke his green card. Still unclear where Khalil is being held.
Let me repeat that. ICE agents just abducted a Columbia grad student from his home right in front of his wife, who was 8 months pregnant, and now no one knows where he is. Mahmoud Khalil is a green card holder, a legal permanent resident, and he can't just be deported because the president doesn't like his politics.
The arrest comes as President Trump vows to deport foreign students and imprison, quote, agitators involved in protest against Israel's war in Gaza.
But here we are already under Trump's fascist regime. Students being kidnapped by Trump's Gestapo and disappeared. If this isn't a red line, then what is? And if we don't draw a line in the sand here and say enough, then when's this gonna stop? When dissent is completely wiped out on campus? When Gaza has been cleansed of Palestinians and turned into a f***ing casino? When it's illegal for immigrants to express themselves? When fascism is fully consolidated, then it's too late. This only stops when we dare to stop it. When we stand on principle and stand for humanity and challenge others to do the same. It only stops when we take to the streets in our millions and say no. Free Mahmoud Khalil. Stop the attacks on universities. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America.
Hands up, Columbia students!
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 Hello, beautiful people. This is the Michael Slate Show, and I am your guest host, Sansara Taylor. On today's show, we'll be sharing segments from the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show, which airs on YouTube. Let's begin.
Welcome to the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show. My name is Andy Z, and I'm here with
Annie Day. It's very good to be with you.
All right. That's good to be with you as well. The RNL show is a weekly show about revolution, the possibility of revolution, how it could really be possible to bring about a radically different and far better way to live with a fundamentally different system in which all people here and around the world could really flourish. We're living in a unique moment. This show, the RNL show, brings to life the new communism developed by the revolutionary leader, Baba Vagian. He has analyzed how in this unique moment of enormous life and death peril that is confronting humanity, from the climate crisis to the danger of world war, and with this country deeply divided, there is the possibility of a real revolution and what must be urgently done now to make that potential real, including as an immediate and urgent responsibility to defeat the Trump MAGA fascist regime, which is feverishly working to lock down a brutal fascist form of rule at enormous, even existential cost to the future of humanity.
In this dangerous and serious context, we're very excited to announce that part two of the interviews that were done with Baba Vagian earlier this year are now available online in full at Baba Vagian Official. Later in today's show, we're going to show you a bit more from that interview. We played the beginning of it last week in its rough cut version, but you can watch the full part two of this interview along with part one at youtube.com/BabaVaganOfficial. It's what people need to hear. It's what they need to understand. It's what they need to take up and spread.
Last week, Baba Vagian issued an important statement on his social media and on RevCom.us titled, quote, Trump's fascist rule, like Hitler's before him, is a regime of horrors and is completely illegitimate. This regime of horrors was on full display Tuesday night as that fascist pig Trump addressed the U.S. Congress and the world with a speech of vicious bragging, lies, and threats. Baba Vagian begins his statement with this, and listen carefully to the comparison that Baba Vagian makes. Quote, Hitler came to power through the normal processes of the Weimar Republic, which was the democratic form of capitalist rule in Germany in the early 1930s. Hitler then trampled on and quickly put an end to the basic norms and principles of that republic, forcibly imposing in its place the open fascist dictatorship of the Nazis. This laid the basis for the horrific atrocities committed by Hitler's Nazi regime, atrocities which were not committed all at once, but in an escalating wave over the next decade, resulting in the genocidal murder of 6 million Jews. Even with particular differences, what is happening now with Trump's fascist rule also involves a terrible momentum that will involve massive, monstrous crimes against humanity in this country and in the world overall, end quote. This was on ugly display Tuesday night in Congress.
My administration has launched the most sweeping border and immigration crackdown in American history. The criminals, killers, traffickers, and child predators who were allowed to enter our country under the open border policy of these people, the Democrats, the Biden administration, the open border insane policies that you've allowed to destroy our country, these people sitting right here will not clap, will not stand, and certainly will not cheer for these astronomical achievements. They won't do it, no matter what. In recent years, our justice system has been turned upside down by radical left lunatics. And as we reclaim our sovereignty, we must also bring back law and order to our cities and towns. I terminated the ridiculous Green New Scam. I withdrew from the unfair Paris Climate Accord. I withdrew from the corrupt World Health Organization. I signed an executive order banning public schools from indoctrinating our children with transgender ideology. We've ended the tyranny of so-called diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. We have removed the poison of critical race theory from our public schools. And I signed an order making it the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
There are 2 points that I want to make on today's RNL show. First, what we saw vividly illustrated was a ruling class completely divided. The brain Republican hyenas of Trump fascism on one side of the room, cheering each measure, saluting Trump's banging of each nail in what could well be a coffin of the masses of people's lives and the future of humanity. As he bragged about methods that would destroy the environment and the health of people here and around the world, and his demonization, erasure, and vicious brutality against all manner of people, from immigrants to trans people. And on display was a Democratic opposition that was pathetically paralyzed and prostrate, sitting numb and dumb, half-heartedly waving little signs that said false and Musk steals. What was clear is that there was and will be no coming together between these two sides, except on the terms of Trump MAGA fascism. The second point that struck me about this last night was a divide between the Democratic Party functionaries and the masses of people who don't want to live in a fascist America and a fascist world. That was on display with how the Democrats in Congress gave a showing of what it is to be a human punching bag, with the notable exception of Representative Al Green from Texas standing his ground, standing up and calling out the first of Trump's lies and getting tossed out, with the rest of the Democrats sitting there mum in cowed obedience. And then, after Trump's speech, their rebuttals to Trump were weak-ass speeches from Senator Elisa Slotkin and from Bernie Sanders. It was just recycled, tired-ass programs that have gotten us into this serious and dangerous moment. Yet, there was another beginning, a different course, in protests sponsored in Washington, D.C. and around the country by diverse groups, the beginning of what needs to become a broad movement involving millions of people from all over the country saying with one voice, no.
Trump must go!
Trump must go!
And Refuse Fascism was in D.C. in front of the Capitol before Trump's speech. And different protests came through in a day that holds the potential, which, when it is multiplied a thousandfold, with millions in the street, marching this way and that and filling the public square to a situation and creating a situation where Trump cannot govern and this regime is driven from power.
There's a crowd of hundreds of people behind me. Take a look at how many people here are here at Lower Senate Park, just outside the U.S. Capitol. They've been here for a couple of hours now. Many of these people drove or got on buses and went through the night from as far away as Detroit, Michigan, from Florida, to come here to exercise their right to protest under the umbrella of a group called Refuse Fascism, which is a national grassroots organizing group.
We can stop this. People have stopped this all around the world. Look what's going on in South Korea right now. Look at the Arab Spring. Look what the people in Puerto Rico did in 2019. They got rid of a vicious far-right, gay-bashing governor with people's power in the streets, in the public square, in the schools, right here in the city halls. We can stop this. We
can stop this. We can stop this.
And I'm really going to
stop this. We can stop this.
And in the name of humanity, not just us, all the world, this will be catastrophic for all the world if we let this regime consolidate fascism. And here's the deal, this is my final point. If we're going to do this, if we're going to take to the streets, this isn't just about elections or writing letters to your congressman. This is about really stepping up, getting in the streets, staying in the streets, even when it's raining, even when it's snowing.
But let's be honest. While there have been some important acts of courage, while there have been some important protests, the far bigger trend up till now has been wave upon wave of institutional capitulation and silence in the streets. When Donald Trump barred the AP from his press briefings because they wouldn't call the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America, the entire press corps should have walked out in boycott. When Donald Trump tweeted, quote, "He who saves his country does not violate any law," judges and lawyers should have gone on strike. It's been done around the world, in Pakistan and Mexico. This is what you're supposed to do. This last weekend, the Oscars should have been filled with prominent people using their platforms and respect, speaking out and calling on others to stand up. Yeah. And here today, tonight, these streets, the night that Trump is addressing Congress, should be filled with hundreds of thousands, millions of people. So here I want to take on some of the that people say to themselves to excuse going along. I want to take on a phrase I've heard a lot. Look, I'll resist up to a point. Up to a point when my funding is on the line. Up to a point when my job might be at risk. Up to a point where I might myself get targeted. Well, real talk, that's not resistance. That's accommodation. Yeah. We have to be real. That's allowing the fascist juggernaut to gain momentum and strength.
The Democratic Party is failing to meet the urgency of this moment. We are fighting against the rise of American fascism. And the people who claim to be on the side of democracy, the people who promised they'd protect us, don't seem to understand what's at stake.
Seeing the Trump presidency and how it started, when he was elected again, my heart sank.
On his inauguration day of this year, the Trevor Project and the Trans Lifeline had record numbers of calls. This is no way to be living. Trans kids deserve to grow up and trans adults deserve to grow old.
Asking questions is patriotic. Questioning authority is patriotic. We the people want respect, dignity, and humanity.
It's time to shut down this country. We must do what people in other countries do.
I see kids fighting to find a voice. They've been swimming in a
all that we just watched needs to exponentially spread. Babavagian's message that I began with concludes with what is to be done, concisely putting forward what must be our crucial immediate goal. I quote, "Before Trump's fascist rule can become fully consolidated and carry out even far worse horrors than what it is already perpetrating, it must be defeated through powerful mass mobilization, overcoming all divide and conquer schemes, uniting all who can be united from many different viewpoints and perspectives in actively opposing, defying, and resisting this fascism in continually growing numbers, moving to quickly involve millions, determined to create such a profound political crisis that Trump cannot govern the country and continue to implement his fascist program with all of its terrible consequences."
So now we're going to show you an excerpt from the Babavagian Interviews 2025, Humanity Does Not Have to Live This Way. As I said, part two is available in full at Babavagian Official on YouTube. It's titled The New Communism, A Whole New Way to Live a Fundamentally Different System. And we're going to show you an excerpt here.
I want to ask something that has a personal dimension to it, but also touches on something that's right at the heart of the new communism. You have, and you've said this, you've never hesitated to tell people the truth. And you said, and I believe you, you never will hesitate to tell people the truth about really important life and death matters, even when people don't want to hear it. Then in...
They often don't.
Go ahead. You want to talk about it?
No, go ahead.
Well, it's true. They often don't. And then at the same time, you've made the point, I know in your social media message 111, you said, look, one of the most fundamental things about the new communism is to really be scientific and tell people the truth about what are our aims as communists in fighting to change the world. In that situation, you were talking about how serious we are about uniting everybody who can be united to defeat this fascism, but it's a broader principle. So this is both at the core of who you are, and it's at the core of the new communism. And I think it'd be important to talk a little bit more about why that's so essential and how you acquired that quality and why it's so central to the revolution you're fighting for.
Well, you know, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, and we don't have time to get into all of it. I mean, you know, as part of my upbringing, you should try to understand what actually is, you know, even with some limitations and how that was approached when I was coming up, you know, including because my parents were religious, and so that, you know, was a dimension in which, you know, you were sort of encouraged to believe in things that didn't exist, you know, but there was a general culture. It wasn't a dogmatic religion. It wasn't a fundamentalist religion, you know, and it was a broad-minded and a generous spirit about that religion, you know, and that had an influence on me. But, you know, my upbringing, we were just basically, it was part of the, my father was a lawyer, you know, and within the realm of the courtroom, you know, you're supposed to, even though there's a lot of, you know, deviation from that, if you will, you're supposed to go for the facts, for the truth, you know, so that's a kind of the way that I and, you know, my siblings were brought up, you know, was you try to understand what's actually true. And then, you know, we were brought up with certain values, you know, about, you know, treating people well and, you know, the idea of equality, if you will, you know, and, you know, discrimination is wrong, racism is wrong, and so on like that. And so, you know, when you're growing up that way, then, you know, you approach things and you approach people like just straightforwardly. You know, and I've talked about this before. I won't go into great detail, but, you know, from a very early age, and especially in high school, you know, entering into sports and, you know, music and so on in school, I made a lot of Black friends, very, you know, people who were really, you know, very, very, you know, important to me and very close to me, you know, and we had a lot of back and forth. And, you know, the idea that you wouldn't, you know, that you would not tell people the truth or you wouldn't say something to them, you know, about something because, you know, it might offend them. It just, you know, it seemed ridiculous, you know. So, you know, that's kind of in the upbringing. And then once I, became more politically involved, and got, you know, went in direction of revolution and communism, understood in basic terms that it's a scientific approach to things and that it's necessary to be scientific, then what flows from that is you don't go beating people over the head with the truth, but you do have to tell them, you know, frankly, the truth. And if you see them doing something that's wrong and harmful, whoever they might be, you know, you have to say so. I mean, that's what, you know, that's what friends do or should do. That's what we did in the circle that I was in, you know, coming up. And that's what, in the broader sense, I mean, I, you know, I guess this sounds corny, but, you know, I consider myself a friend to the masses of people. I consider that, you know, that I'm part of the, if you want to put it that way, part of the family that they are part of. You know, in the broadest sense, you tell people the truth. You don't insult them, you know, gratuitously, needlessly. You know, you don't beat them over the head with things. You don't, you know, force things on them. You know, you try to convince people. And you listen to people, you know, because you're not always right either, you know, and people can convince you that you're, you know, that you're not seeing things the way they actually are, or you're not doing things as you should be doing them. But that's the process that should go on both, you know, in terms of your personal relationship with people, but, you know, much more importantly, because it has much greater effect in terms of how you proceed in the larger society, in the larger world. So to me, the idea that you wouldn't tell people the truth, because, you know, it might be inconvenient to tell them the truth, or, you know, that you know, you might be accused of being arrogant, or you might be accused of this or that if you speak the truth, you know, unsparingly, you know, not arrogantly, but unsparingly, you know, well, that, you know, that just doesn't make any sense to me. It just strikes me as profoundly wrong. So I, you know, I, as I've said, I haven't hesitated and I won't hesitate to tell people, you know, the truth about important things that they need to know, you know, because they do need to know them, you know, and then you listen to people and you go back and forth, you know, and you work through things. But the idea that you'd hold back because, oh, you know, you're from this identity or that, look, there's a lot of arrogance and that people get by being in a superior position over other people. And that's something that, you know, that we're moving to completely move beyond and do away with. But that's different than honestly telling people the truth about things. And then, as the saying goes, letting the chips fall where they may, you know, and working through the contradictions that are, you know, that are part of the process. If you don't tell people the truth as you understand it, while you're willing to learn that you might be wrong, if you don't tell people the truth, you're cheating people. Mm. You're depriving them of an understanding they really need to have, especially if it's about anything important.
I want to take the last period of this interview to return to some really important questions about leadership, about your leadership in particular, and back to the immediate moment we face. Very, very widespread in society today is the notion, especially among progressive people, decent people, young people who want positive change, that leadership is a bad thing. And I wonder if you could speak about what is leadership and what is communist leadership in particular, and why should people follow your leadership?
Well, first of all, let's get that one thing straight. People are being led all the time by forces that are standing above them and in effect, you know, in real terms, dictating to them. Terms are being set for them and dictated to them by the very operation of the system. It hems people in and forces them in all kinds of ways, to do all kinds of things and prevents them from doing all kinds of things. So the idea that you're somehow existing in a vacuum, not being led, and no terms are being set for your life, you know, is you know, completely contrary to, you know, to the essential reality. So that's, people are being led all the time. That's the first thing, you know, and people follow leaders all the time. You know, they idolize all these, you know, bourgeois leaders and cultural figures, including ones who are, you know, actually, you know, representative of and putting forth terrible things. You know, people follow them and idealize them all the time. You can go, you know, look at the popular culture, you know, and think about people, you know, that are idealized and you know, may have millions of followers at any given time. Politicians, you know, people in the popular culture, influencers and what all, you know. So that's one thing that has to be understood. You know, leadership, you know, is or should be a process that enables people, it goes back to the whole point about science too, it enables people to understand the world as it actually is where the interests of the masses of humanity, of which they are a part, actually are, and how to go about transforming things in accordance with those interests. That's the fundamental thing of leadership. It proceeds according to a certain scientific method. It understands, you know, leadership, correct leadership, it involves an understanding of learning from people, but as we've been talking about, also struggling with people to get them to have a scientific understanding and approach so that it's not just a handful, but a growing number of people who are approaching the world and the question of changing the world in accordance with how the world actually is, the way it needs to be changed in order to be in line with the interests of the great masses of people in the world, and how to go about making that happen. That's what leadership, and in particular, communist leadership is. So that's the answer to that, you know, in basic terms, to that question. As for why people should follow my leadership, it's, you know, it comes down to this is what I'm setting out to do and have been setting out to do for decades now, is what I just described, enabling people to, you know, more and more deeply and in a living way understand the reality that they, you know, that they're part of, how this reality is setting the terms, not just for them, but for, you know, much greater numbers of people and ultimately for humanity as a whole, where this all needs to go in order for human beings to be able to fully give expression to their humanity, if you want to put it that way, and how to go about making that a reality and enabling growing numbers of people to take up and apply the same scientific method and then in turn lead others to do the same. So this is what my life, you know, for a complex of reasons, which we won't get all into now, you know, but this is what my life's been about for decades. And, you know, let me put it this way. I think, you know, I said before, I consider myself, you know, a friend of the masses of people. You know, I was shaped by my, you know, personal and deep relations with people who were brutally and bitterly oppressed under this system. And, you know, these were friends of mine, literally and directly, but also by extension, this extended to people much more broadly that were in the same situation. And I've considered myself, you know, I consider them a friend to me, and I consider them myself their friend. And, you know, this, as the more I've learned about the conditions of the masses of people in the world as a whole, the more this has been extended to the, you know, that orientation has been extended that way. You know, there's a lot of things that go into that, including, you know, ironically, some of my religious upbringing is fed into that, even though I transformed that thinking, became an atheist. The basic idea that you should care about other people and not just yourself, which I did get largely from my religious parents and my mother especially, but my father as well, that has also, you know, been part of what's motivated me. And then I've come to understand the world in a more scientific way, and it hasn't lessened the sense that you should care about people. It's given me a much broader sense of that. And the more I've continued to learn, the broader, you know, and the deeper that orientation has become. And that's how I'm proceeding. Look, a lot of what I'm saying is corny. You know, I know somebody listened to the band International one time and was overheard saying, "How much sincerity can you fake?" You know, and this is a cynicism that's drilled into people, because they live under a system that conditions and trains and requires people to be cynical, you know, to set out, you know, to just go for self, you know, at the expense of anybody that gets in your way. You know, even, you know, maybe you have a small circle of people you care about, but beyond that, anybody that gets in your way, you know, you have to move them out of the way in pursuing your, you know, whatever it is you're set out to do for you individually and the small circle you're part of. And, you know, and people look at the leaders that are put forward, even though while they idealize some of them, they still understand on a certain level or have a sense these people are, you know, just out for themselves in a narrow sense, but also that are, you know, cynically maneuvering and operating in the, you know, however they understand it, in the interests of what is. and in maintaining what is, you know, and in getting over on other people. This is a culture. This is the way people, you know, sense, even if they don't understand scientifically, they sense that this is the way people, especially people who put themselves forward as leaders, proceed in the world. And that's because the people who are promoted as leaders in this system are reflections. They are reflections of what the system is all about. They are, you know, they correspond to how the system operates, or they'll be moved aside. So, you know, people become cynical because they've heard, you know, many, many people come forward as so-called leaders, saying one thing and doing another, you know, talking in grandiose terms, but then being about the most narrow and even vicious things. So people become cynical, you know. But, you know, you have to step back that. You have to evaluate things on, once again, it's a matter of science. Evaluate things on the basis of what they actually are. What do people actually do? What does it actually tell you about the world? Where would it actually lead if you take up what people are saying and go with it and lead other people to go with it? That's how you evaluate leadership. You know, I could put it another way, and this, I know, will just feed cynicism and, you know, all that is corny and so on and so forth. But I, you know, I look upon what I'm doing as, you know, my giving back to the masses of people who taught me a tremendous amount as I was coming up. Even though they didn't teach me the science, they taught me a tremendous amount about what people go through and, you know, what is so unnecessary for people to have to be put through. You know, I learned a lot about that from other people. And I view, you know, and then as I said, I've learned, you know, whole broader dimensions of that, even on a worldwide level, about the masses of people in the world. And I regard what I'm doing as giving back to those people who have, you know, taught me that, who led me, you know, even though they didn't take me by the hand or push me in the back and say, go this way, they impelled me in a certain direction. This is injustice. This is oppressive. This is intolerable. So what are you going to do about it, Bobby? You know, when I was young. So, you know, this is how I, you know, I view what I'm doing. It's giving back. And, you know, there's the old saying from the Trojan War, you know, you better stare a gift horse in the mouth. Okay, you know, concretely examine it. Look at what I'm advocating. Look at the methods and the approach I'm proceeding on. Look what I'm calling for. Look what I'm saying has to be done. Look what I'm saying, how it can be done. Look what I'm saying. Look at what I'm saying, who has to do this and how they have to do it. Evaluate it on the basis of what it actually is and then decide, you know, is this where things need to go? And if so, then take it up, follow it, but take it up and lead other people to take it up.
So that was Bob Avakian in an excerpt from part 2 of a new interview with him, which you can watch in full at Bob Avakian Official on YouTube. Now, I just want to take a minute to appreciate what we just heard. The matter of fact and scientific clarity. The hard-hitting truth and the heart on his sleeve humanity. That's Bob Avakian. Seeing the potential in people and fighting like hell for them to rise to that potential. And proceeding in everything from what humanity needs to get all the way free through a real revolution to bring a whole new world into being. Think about how what we just heard goes up against the often repeated lie that you have to water down your message and hide things from people so that it sells, so it's palatable to people. Well, BA shatters that bullshit. You know, think about the confusion that exists about leadership in general and the cynicism and snark about this leader. Again, BA shatters all that with plain-spoken reality about the very real questions that he has put himself to, the hard and the liberating truth that people need to know to become emancipators of humanity. And that's just part of what Bob Avakian is speaking to in these interviews, where he brings alive how revolution is not just necessary, but it is possible. In the rest of part 2, he digs extensively into what's new about the new communism and what it opens up in terms of the complex process of building a new liberating society after a real revolution. So if you care about the future, you need to hear this and be part of spreading it to others. And in this and in part one, Bob Avakian seriously confronts the extreme danger of the fascist regime that we are facing. And he provides the analysis and the direction for what we need to do now. I also want to appreciate the loftiness and the farsightedness, the principle and the humanity in who Bob Avakian is as a person. And it's very rare to have this kind of leader who's been on the revolutionary road for decades and never caved in or given up on revolution in the face of great difficulty and sacrifice, and instead has gone on to make breakthroughs in the whole understanding of what's needed for revolution. It's not an exaggeration to say that while we rise to the challenge of uniting all who can be united to defeat this fascism, the future pivots on whether Bob Avakian, what's in these interviews and in his social media overall, is heard by millions or whether it's silenced. And you have a role to play in this. Look, this needs to reach all of those who are shocked and scared and jolted by the extremeness of this fascist regime. It needs to reach the young people who are taking to the streets for the first time because they hate the racism from these fascists and because they fear for their undocumented loved ones. It needs to reach the frustrated, longtime Democratic voters who just don't understand why the Democrats keep laying down to Trump MAGA fascism. It needs to reach the nature-loving tree huggers and the queer kids and the black and brown youth hated and degraded by this system. Bob Avakian in this message is going against the tide. And that's why this campaign to get Bob Avakian's voice and vision, his social media, reaching everywhere.
You are listening to The Michael Slate Show. We're going to take a short musical break and be right back.
And brothers, because if you do, you can hear their voices still calling across the years, and they're all crying across the ocean, and they're crying across the land, and they will too. We all come to understand. None of us are free, none of us are free. Darkness, and they just can't see the light.
We're joined today by Coco Das, a writer, revolutionary, and a member of the editorial board of refusefascism.org. Coco, very glad you're with us today.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
So we're coming up on International Women's Day, March 8th, and Refuse Fascism is calling for protests to take place all across the country with the slogans, Stop the War on Women and LGBTQ People, The Fascist Trump Regime Must Go, In the Name of Humanity, We Refused to Accept a Fascist America. Can you talk about the stakes of this International Women's Day in the midst of a fascist regime in power?
Well, the stakes are nothing less than the future of women. What kind of future is it going to be? Is it one in which women will be able to live their lives as full human beings? Or is it a future in which women are enslaved, subjugated to men? And we are already on the road to a future in which women are breeders and incubators and less seen as less than human, as second-class citizens. So this future has to be stopped. That's one of the things at stake. Look, this fascist movement that Trump has, you know, that is in the White House now, that Trump has galvanized over 8 years, believes that the traditional family is the pillar of society and that all, you know, all the problems of society are because women are not in their place in that traditional family structure, in that oppressive traditional family structure. And they are determined to force women back into their what they see as their, you know, the only roles they should be able to play in society. And along with that is the erasure of LGBTQ people, the, you know, the targets on the backs of trans youth, you know, forcing LGBTQ people, anyone, you know, who doesn't conform to the traditional gender roles and the traditional patriarchal, you know, view of gender, forcing them back into the closet and forcing them out of society. So this we cannot allow. And, you know, there is actually a chance. It's not inevitable that that's going to be the future, but we are running out of time.
Yeah, I mean, and people say, you know, people thought Roe v. Wade wouldn't ever be overturned. People thought these things wouldn't happen here. And one by one by one, they've made these, you know, leaps in the direction of all-out fascism. So I think people have to take this. I mean, obviously, it's an urgent situation in terms of how quickly this regime is moving, how quickly it's consolidating. And, you know, could you tell people what they ought to do then on March 8th? The streets should resound with the chant. Obedient women is what you want. Furious women is what you've got. At the same time as that spirit is linked to the overall mission of defeating this fascist regime. So what should March 8th look like, and what can people do to get connected?
Well, it should look like our fury and, you know, opposition in, and our, you know, screaming voices in the streets. Now is the time to stand up, protest, and call on others, call the millions into the streets. There are millions of people who hate this. And, you know, the majority, there is a non-fascist majority in this country, and everybody who cares about women and LGBTQ people needs to be out in the public square on Saturday, and raising these slogans, in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America, stop the war on women and LGBTQ people, and the fascist Trump regime must go. All of those three slogans are really important, and it needs to be powerful. It needs to be loud, defiant. It needs to be everywhere, from, you know, small towns to big cities. And it needs to grow. It needs to be the spark of a movement that continues to grow into something that can actually create a political crisis, bring society to a halt, and rise to a crescendo of millions of people actually demanding that this regime must go, and that this, you know, Trump MAGA fascism must be driven out of society. So if you are thinking about staying home on Saturday, you need to get out. And if there is not a protest in your, you can go to refusefascism.org and look at where the protests are that we have called for. And I know Women's March and other groups are calling for some protests in different cities. You should look for what is already being organized in your town. Take these slogans, make some banners, make some signs. But also, you know, if there is not anything happening in your town, call some friends, get some people together, put something out on social media, go to the public square, a busy street corner, and get these slogans out. It is really, and you know, these slogans actually speak to the aspirations of millions of people, and we need to be part of spreading them on International Women's Day.
Okay. Well, people should go to refusefascism.org. Thank you for being with us today, Coco, and we'll see you soon.
Once again, let me remind you that you are listening to The Michael Slate Show.
Earlier I read from Bob Avakian's message. Trump's fascist rule, like Hitler's before him, is a regime of horrors and is completely illegitimate. In speaking to what must be done now to prevent the consolidation of Trump's fascist rule, Bob Avakian makes the crucial point that, quote, it must be defeated through powerful mass mobilization, overcoming all divide and conquer schemes, uniting all who can be united from many different viewpoints and perspectives in actively opposing, defying, and resisting this fascism. However, aiding and abetting the fascists are people who make a mission out of undermining the unity we need through despicable lies and slander. Sansara Taylor, a host of this show and a co-member of the editorial board of Refuse Fascism, posted this refutation of one such person.
All right, so check this out. International Women's Day protest against the enslavement of women, the erasure of trans people, and the whole Trump MAGA fascism scratched out. Kind of looks like something some incel Trump bro would do, right? Except no, this is Talia Jane, the counter-revolutionary, proven liar and wrecker who likes to pose as some kind of radical. So what's going on here? Today we're going to take this apart, refute it, and help raise standards overall, because that is so necessary in the face of this fascist juggernaut. So let's look at the first bright red flag. Talia Jane scratches out or crops out every single QR code, website, or social media handle that would enable you to go and look for yourself at the views being put forward by those she's attacking and distorting and slandering. She also uses scare words like transphobic and queerphobic and cult, words designed to make you recoil and shut off your critical thinking. Now, if somebody's being honest, even if they're disagreeing, they should want to portray and engage with the very best arguments of those they're disagreeing with. And they should not be afraid of you going to look for yourself. But Talia Jane is spewing lies, and she knows this would be obvious if you went and looked. So she has to crop this out. Now think about this. She's attacking me for being a transphobe while she is scratching out a protest I'm helping organize that is literally against the enslavement of women and, wait for it, the erasure of trans people. Come on now. And she attacks Bob Avakian for being a queerphobe. Listen to this from over 20 years ago.
It remains a fact that those whose sexual orientation does not conform to the dominant male-female relations, or who in one way or another do not fit the stereotypes of what a man and a woman is supposed to be in this society, they are cruelly persecuted and discriminated against and often subjected to vicious and brutal attacks.
I'll play more of that very moving clip from Bob Avakian later in this video. But first, let me cut to the heart of why counter-revolutionaries and movement hacks and opportunists everywhere go so hard after the RevCons and after Bob Avakian in particular. This is because Bob Avakian is fighting for the most radical and liberating revolution in all of human history. Because Bob Avakian has walked the walk since becoming a revolutionary back in the 1960s alongside the leaders of the Black Panther Party. Bob Avakian has solved the biggest problems in the project of making revolution. So today we have the understanding we need not only to bring down this rotten, illegitimate system of capitalism and imperialism, but to put a whole different, much more liberating system in its place on the road to real emancipation. Among other things, Bob Avakian had the intellectual courage to break with long-standing traditions in the communist movement that downplayed the need to take up the fight for the liberation of women in its own right, and that carried over backwards and outmoded thinking on sexual orientation and gender. Bob Avakian had the intellectual integrity to sum this up openly so that everybody could learn from it. And Bob Avakian has advanced humanity's understanding of the need to place the fight against all of patriarchy's chains at the center of the fight for the complete emancipation of all of humanity. Now, if you are for real liberation, this is a great thing. If that's you, go engage it right now at Bob Avakian Official. But if you're somebody invested in this system, especially if you're somebody who's invested in this system, but you like to pose as some kind of radical, but you don't want to do the work, you don't want to make the sacrifice, you don't want to go against the tide in the way that's needed to actually make a revolution, then you hate this and you hate Bob Avakian because his mere existence exposes the emptiness and bankruptcy of what you actually stand for. It's kind of like if Chipotle went around trying to wreck every taqueria in East LA so that you wouldn't find out what the cuisine is actually supposed to taste like. only the stakes are obviously so much higher. Look, there's a lot more lies packed in Natalia Jane's latest screed, but all this has already been answered by Rise Up for Abortion Rights, by the RevComs, and by me, repeatedly. The point is, Talia Jane, like counter-revolutionaries and movement opportunists everywhere, is counting on you not looking into this for yourself. She's counting on you staying away from this protest on International Women's Day and from the larger struggle being spearheaded by Refuse Fascism to unite all who can be united, to stand up against and defeat Trump MAGA fascism. Most of all, she's trying to scare you away from engaging honestly and with an open mind with the one revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian, with a vision and blueprint for how we get beyond this whole system that gave rise to this fascism and so many other atrocities. Whatever her intentions, Talia Jane is acting as a tool of this system. Her attacks are fueling and serving Trump MAGA fascism. Don't let yourself and don't let others be played by this. Come out, bring your rage, bring your fury, bring your voice on International Women's Day. Stand up against these divide and conquer tactics. Be part of uniting all who can be united to stand up and say no. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. With that, as promised, let's return and go out with this very powerful and moving clip from Bob Avakian more than 20 years ago.
Many people know what happened to Matthew Shepard, a young gay student in Wyoming, taken by some good old boys because he annoyed them with being gay. They brutally beat him to death, and that wasn't all. They hung him up on a barbed wire fence, calling to mind the lynchings that I've spoken of. This is what happens in this greatest of all countries. This is a result of the kinds of relations and values that are represented by so-called leaders of the land like Bush with their whole cowboy thing. A little lesser known story is the story of Sakia Gunn, a 15-year-old African-American lesbian from Newark, New Jersey, who was beaten to death one night in that state. It wasn't bad enough that she was beaten to death, but then the school officials and other authorities in the city completely ignored this. Usually when a youth is killed in the city, they have some kind of ceremonies, some kind of memorials. They had none of that for her until this became such an outrage that they had to back up. And among this was not only the outpouring of people in general, but the outpouring of teenage black lesbians who before that had been forced into the shadows. And then there is the terrible, devastating disease AIDS and the cynical way in which the government and powerful financial interests have dealt with this. While at times making a few sounds about how AIDS is a terrible thing and the resources of government should be used to fight this disease, the United States government has never followed through on this in any serious and consistent way. And the drug companies and others in the health industry, as they call it, have never undertaken the research or provided the treatment that is called for. Whatever they have done has been guided for their concern for the bottom line and whether they can make a healthy profit, regardless of the health of people.
This brings us to the end of today's show.
Yeah, it's been a packed show. One more important notice. Next Wednesday, March 12th, two members of the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity, including national spokesperson Noche Diaz and Chicago RevCom Leo Pargo, will appear in court in Chicago to face charges that carry 1 year in jail and a serious fine. What were their crimes? At a protest several weeks ago, Noche led hundreds of youth to chant, "In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America." And Leo objected when the police manhandled Noche as he climbed down from his speaker's perch. This must not be allowed to go down. If you are in the Midwest, Go to Chicago next Wednesday, 9 a.m. at Cook County Circuit Court. We're going to put the details in the caption below. And if you're not in Chicago or the Midwest, go to change.org to sign the petition, drop the charges on Noche Diaz and Leo Pargo. We must not only defend those who stand up against this fascism, we must use each and every case to build our movement even stronger, bringing more people forward to act and building the strength to drive out this fascist regime.
That's right, and that is what we urgently have to do. We've been sitting here all day looking at the alerts of Trump threatening protest in the streets, Trump threatening Gaza. We have to act commensurate with the situation we face. So be in the streets this Saturday for International Women's Day. Spread the word. Watch those interviews. And let's go, people. History is riding on what we do.
And that brings us to the end of another show here at The Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out the RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComs and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature, it is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week.
Set out to do. Stand.
There's a cross for you to bear.
Things to go through if you're going anywhere.
Ooh.
Stand for the things you know alright. It's the truth that the truth makes them so alive. Stand.
All the things you want are real.
You have you to complete, and there is no deal. Stand and stand.
Everybody,
stand, stand.
Too long.
There's a permanent crease in your right and wrong. Stand.
There's a midget standing tall,
and a giant beside him about to fall.
Crawl.
And they know what you're saying makes sense at all.